I would like to do what we do every year on Easter Day. And I always say, Christ is risen, and you answer, He's risen indeed. Okay? Let's do that to begin with. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I didn't hear you at all. Christ is risen. And He is indeed risen. We worship a living Savior. We meet here because we have a living Savior. We sing because we have life that is given to us but by this Savior. And we continue living in the hope that we will be with Him forever and ever. Because He said, because I live, you shall live also. This morning, I read a story. If I remember it well, it's attributed to D.L. Moody. He was asked to officiate a funeral for a man, and that was in his early life. And then he said, well, I want to see a funeral officiated by Jesus so I can imitate Him and see what I can do. So he went to the four Gospels and looked and reviewed the Gospels, and he couldn't find a funeral officiated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you find it, let me know. Then he refrained and prepared a funeral message about Jesus Christ and His living life to give us, and death and grave could not touch. We are thankful to be able to, this morning, to officiate or to celebrate this beautiful day in the life of Christianity all over the world. And I looked for a title, so you know you can follow me, and I couldn't find except four words. Maybe three. He is not here. The two angels stood there before the grave of Jesus Christ. And when the ladies came to do what they normally do for dead people according to the Jewish religion, and they stood in awe, fearful, before these two angels that came and stood there. And they looked at them. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. I repeat, He is not here. And you know, it touched my heart when I was looking and preparing this 10-minute message. I don't want to keep you long. It touched me a lot. Because if you recently lost a dear one in your family, I didn't know that they do it. So, you know, I lost my wife. But, so they sent me a note from the people responsible for the cemetery there. Said, Dear Adol, I said, well, they know me first first, you know, name. Dear Adel, we are celebrating those people who died the past 6 months, and would like you to come and celebrate with us around the graves of your wife and so on. I said, I looked at it. I thought a little bit. I said, why am I going to go there? There is no celebration. If there is a celebration for me, it's my wife is in heaven. Why should I go to the plaque there? That's written about her name. She is not here. And they sent me a note that says, Adel Ackle, this is with the future place near her there. I said, why should I go there? She is in heaven and I'm going to be in heaven. Why should I visit the graveyard again? And guess what? Cancel the message. I did not even respond. We are not to spend eternity in a graveyard. And the voice from the graveyard this morning is, he is not here. Christians, enjoy, because whatever happens, whether we die or whether we go to heaven, when God calls us and to meet us in the air, we are alive in him forever and ever. The chief priests and the Pharisees were determined that Jesus was going to stay in the grave, period. They used every resource and power available to see that they reported to Pilate what Jesus said. They told him, in 3 days, I am to rise again. They were in fear. They secured the tomb and placed there a seal on the great stone that was covering the grave. I went there. I went to the grave. I sat in it with awe. If it is where you, Jesus, where you were put there for 3 days, I had the privilege to sit. But whatever you do to seal that grave, you could not do anything. They brought also the Roman army's special unit. And in spite of all the efforts of the Jewish leaders and the Roman Empire, God had to accomplish what he had already determined and promised. He would rise again. Vainly, as we heard today, vainly they sealed the dead. Vainly they didn't want anybody to remember or to think that Jesus was there at all. Carnal-minded people, they could not fight what was determined and promised. He shall rise again. If you seek Jesus, do not go to his grave. People go every year, all year round, and visit Jesus' grave in Jerusalem. He's not there at all. Even the disciples never visited the grave. The moment they saw him, and the moment they heard his voice and ate with him and spent with him a good time, they never thought of going to the grave. And if you go anywhere, anytime to Jerusalem, you'll see people on the Via Dolorosa, on that road that led to Calvary. You see people coming and offering you pieces of the cross to sell you this. The disciples never went to that big stone and took pieces from it and started sealing them. They didn't want to even see that. They knew this means nothing to them. They didn't want to even give it a thought, because they knew Jesus Christ rose and he is with them. You ask me, we sang today, how I know he lives. He lives where? Within my heart. Help me out on this. Within our hearts. Christians, you who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the risen Savior, and you know he is in your heart. Today, this afternoon, you do not have to worry about visiting any grave. You know one thing, Jesus Christ is alive, he's living, and he's leading his people until that great day when we shall see him in the air to spend eternity with him forever. In one of the villages of northern India, a missionary was preaching in a bazaar. As he closed, a Muslim gentleman approached him and said, "You must admit, we have one thing you have not, and it is better than anything you have." The missionary smiled and said, "I should be pleased to hear what it is." The gentleman said, "You know, when we go to Mecca, we at least find a coffin. But when you Christians go to Jerusalem, which is your Mecca, you find nothing but an empty grave." But the missionary just smiled and said, "That is just the difference. Muhammad is dead. Muhammad is in the coffin. That is just the difference. And all the false systems of foreign and philosophy are in their coffins. But Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is to include all nations, kindreds, tribes, everyone that has been created by God, will not be there. He is risen. He is risen." I sat in that, as I said, in that tomb there, empty tomb, and people coming and going and visiting and taking pictures, to empty tomb. We don't have an empty tomb to worship. We don't have a tomb to visit. We have a Lord to enjoy, who gave us eternal life when he rose from the dead. And all the power in heaven, on earth, is given unto him. That is our hope. We have a living Christ. He is not dead. He is not in the tomb. He is alive forevermore. Do you belong to him? Is Christ your Savior? That's the only assurance that we have in this world, that he is a Savior who saved us from sin, who gave us life and life eternal. And because he lives, we shall live with him forever and ever. Do you have the Savior in your heart? Are you sure you have this life that he gave us when he rose from the dead? Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we thank you for giving us another year, another Sunday. We call it Easter Sunday. To us, it's a resurrection day. We thank you for that and ask you to bless this congregation. Ask you to give hope who does not that hope, who does not have that hope, and give us the assurance, those people who do not know you as Savior, the assurance that if they come to you and let you live in their hearts and change their lives, they know very well that they will be with you. As we heard in the song, they will be with you to reign with you forever and ever. We thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every person in attendance this afternoon. May we ask you to bless each and every one, all the families, all the children, all of us, Lord. We are waiting for your blessing, and you are ready to give it if we ask you to come into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.